Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
If you have your Bible, would you take it? Would you open it with me? Would you turn it on to Galatians chapter 6? Today, we begin our last chapter in this letter that Paul wrote to those followers of Jesus in the church in Galatia. We'll start chapter 6 today. We'll actually wrap up our multi-week walk through and study of Galatians next weekend, Lord willing. And speaking of wrapping up, man, regardless of if your candidate won the election, didn't win, aren't sure who's going to win, wherever you are this morning, can we all agree that at least we have wrapped up the campaign commercials? Yes? Can we all be in agreement on that? That's a good thing, right? Yes, I'm pretty sure nobody got up this morning and just, you know, was having that first sip of coffee. By the way, little public service announcement for you coffee drinkers. Kroger on 78, go to the Starbucks there, Christmas blend is out. Yes, that is a good and glorious day. That alone is worth getting up and worshiping the Lord in fullness. I mean, so 2 days in a row now, I've gotten up, had my Christmas blend, and it's just put me on the right track to hope and to freedom, and it's just a good, good thing. But I can tell you this, I was not sitting there this morning. You tell me if you did. Maybe you're different than me, but I'm pretty sure nobody who's a coffee drinker was sitting there this morning having their first cup to start the day and said, you know, I really miss those political commercials. Something's missing in my life today. My day's not going to be quite as fulfilling if I don't have interruptions while I'm listening to my music or talk radio and getting bombarded with how bad this candidate is and how wrong this candidate was. I mean, if I could just go to the mailbox tomorrow and the mail is running and, you know, I miss getting those mudslinging smear campaign postcards of somebody that I don't even really know who they are on a lot of levels, and that's probably on me, but nobody's sitting there going, yeah, if I just had that back in my life, my joy level would be raised to a whole new level. That's the missing piece. No, our nation still has a long way to go in healing and in moving forward into becoming who God wants us to be. Yes? Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. And at least for a little while, the election campaign vitriol is kind of behind us. And I know just by watching the numbers, as you probably have been watching the numbers, there's half of the people in the nation this morning that probably woke up feeling happy and hopeful. And there's another half that probably woke up this morning feeling worried and, oh no, what's going to happen next? And none of that shifts Jesus' reign over all. That's a good thing, regardless of how you woke up this morning. I was talking with someone this morning and teasing with this one person a little bit, but in all seriousness, there was this particular person was a Trump supporter and walked in very concerned and just, you know, kind of out of this person's mouth, talking to me earlier today, just says, I don't know how you're going to get up and do what you do this morning. To which my response was, well, I'm going to preach Jesus. I wasn't planning on preaching Joe. Now, I want to pray for Joe, and I want to pray for Donald. We're on a first name basis, in case you didn't know. Jesus, Joe, and Donald, and me. And I'm going to invite you to do the same when we wrap our time up. But Jesus is King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's in Him, in His name, that we put our hope and we put our worship. Do you realize this? You can't worship and worry at the same time. It is a physical impossibility. You cannot worry and worship at the same time, because if you think you are doing that, and you can, you're not worshiping the one true God. I encourage you, wherever your heart rests this morning, let it find its ultimate rest in the Lord Jesus. And choose to worship Him today and every day. Amen. Well, let's get back to our study in Paul's letter. Let's pick it up on the tail end of Galatians chapter 5. We'll kind of get a running start into chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verses 25 and 26. We're going to go through chapter 6, verse 10 this morning. Paul has just talked about being people who follow Jesus, who demonstrate these various fruits of the Spirit in our lives, regardless of what's going on around us. Think about that. Regardless of what's going on around us, we are to be people, if we're a follower of Jesus, whom the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us, we are to be people who demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. And it says this in verses 25 and 26, chapter 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Chapter 6. Brothers, sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we get into chapter 6 this morning, this last section of Paul's letter, he reminds us of what kind of life that we are called to live as followers of Jesus. We want to be people who are keeping in step with the Spirit. Did you notice that at the end of chapter 5? He says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also, say it with me, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Why don't you underline that phrase, keep in step. Highlight that phrase, keep in step. Think about it with me. We keep in step with all kinds of things, don't we? Maybe some of you are going, I've got my head wrapped around the Electoral College now because I've been keeping in step with what's been going on the last few days or the last few weeks or the last few months. We keep in step with all kinds of things. Some keep in step with politics. Some keep in step with the stock market. Some keep in step with fashion or culture or your favorite sports team. Some of you are going, I don't even know that I'm going to watch the Cowboys and Steelers today. And that's heresy in the family I grew up in. But you've been keeping in step with the quarterback situation. You're like, I can't take any more right now. If you're a Cowboys fan, what would it look like if we became a people who were very intentional, very mindful about living lives by the Holy Spirit of God that are bent toward keeping in step with the Spirit? You may be sitting there going, I would love to do that. How does a person do that? How does a person keep in step? Well, in part, It's what Paul goes on to write about here in the conclusion of his letter. He's going to talk about this and talk about being mindful of our lives, mindful of our walk through life, being mindful of the way that we live our life, how we direct our actions and our thoughts and our words and our lives. Look what Paul says again. Next, at the end of chapter 5 into chapter 6, if you want to keep in step with the Spirit, then do these things. Look at verse 26 and then chapter 6, verse 1. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Lest you too be tempted. So Paul's saying here, if we want to be people who are keeping in step with the Spirit, then don't be conceited. Don't think too much of yourself. That's going to come into conflict in a selfie-taking world. Yeah? Selfie just means self. Getting captured and then posted so that others can see how great I am. What if we just fasted from selfies for a week? No selfies this week. Not saying you can never take another selfie again. I'm just saying when you have the urge to do a selfie, take a selfie, what if you just said, wait a minute, I'm going to take the next 7 days and just not do that, not because it's inherently bad, but just to remind myself, I don't want to become conceited. I don't want to think too much of myself. And Paul goes on to say, don't provoke one another while you're at it. Don't envy one another. Instead, he says, help a brother out. Help a sister out. If someone in your sphere of influence is struggling, don't feel sorry for them. Help them. Help them if it's in your capacity to do so. People who are in step with the Spirit, they want the best for their brother in Christ. They want the best for their sister in Christ. They want to see their sister in Christ progressing, not regressing. As I was studying these verses, things flash in my mind from my own life. And it's like, oh yeah, that reminds me of this. And Lucy's old enough now to where we can laugh at this a little bit. I always, before I ever tell a story or share a story about any of our family, I always say, hey, I'm thinking about this. And this one kind of got an eye roll, like, come on, Dad. We've got enough statute of limitations, okay, away from this one here. And here's what came to my mind, thinking about conceited, don't think too much of yourself, help a brother out, help a sister out. So Lucy was in like kindergarten or first grade, little bitty tyke. And they had one of those end of the, wasn't like an end of the year big ceremony. It was like kind of the end of a few weeks, okay? And it was at the start of school, and it was an opportunity. They were doing some kind of little, maybe a couple of little songs from that they had learned or whatever, a little spirit rally at school. So Allison and I, trying to be the good supportive parents, were able to get there and be a part. And they gave away some little awards on this day as they, we would find out they would do week after week or, you know, section after section or whatnot. And so we're up there watching Lucy do her thing and just be involved, supportive parents. And then they had a little section where they started giving a few little awards out. You know, I mean, it's not like, wow, you made perfect score on your SAT test as a first grader or anything like that. I mean, that would be like, wow. This is like, hey, you were a good helper. You were a great line leader. You know, it's a way to give some wins and celebrate some wins. And so a few kids in our class got some of those kinds of awards. Most didn't on that day, knowing there's going to be other award opportunities. But man, I mean, you could just see they got to the end there. And on this particular day, Lucy didn't get her name called. And she's extremely competitive. And she just couldn't understand why her name wasn't called. And as one of those last kids got their award, she just turned and said, "I'm better than that kid." To which we tried to encourage her and say, "Hey, it's okay. There's going to be other chances. There's going to be other times to get awards this year. You just keep working hard." But man, on that day, for that little first grader, that was a tough day for Lulu. Needless to say, Lucy has grown. She has matured into a beautiful young lady. She can be happy when her friends get recognized for their good work. But man, on that day, she wasn't having any of it. "I'm better than that kid." And if we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, what Paul's saying is, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't be conceited. In fact, help somebody else out along the way. Help others succeed. I love what Zig Ziglar once said. Zig Ziglar said this right here: "You can get everything in life that you want if you'll just help enough people get what they want." Think about that for a second. That's helping a brother out. That's helping a sister out. That's not only thinking about yourself. That's thinking about someone else. And man, one of the ways that you help other people get what they want is by helping a brother out, helping a sister out. And not only that, if you see someone getting off track, making life choices that aren't going to be helpful, but rather they're going to end up being hurtful or harmful, it's actually a loving thing to say something. Real love is being willing to have those hard conversations when people are going against what God's best for their life is. It's not beating them up. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about judging somebody or showing them up. But as Paul says, look again what he says here in verse 1. "You who are spiritual should restore him," how? "In a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." So a question for us this morning is, do you love people enough to reach out in gentleness? In gentleness. Not being conceited, not being judgy, but genuinely wanting them to be positioned for God's best in their life. A good place, a healthy place is what you desire for them to be with Jesus. Think about it. Choosing to talk to them rather than talk to others about them. Very different approach. Very different approach. You see, one is gentle, leading to goodness. The other is just flat out gossip and sinful. You can't gossip about somebody and be in step with the Spirit at the same time. Just like you can't worship and worry at the same time. You can't gossip and be in step with the Spirit. Think about this for a second. Think about this. Do you have people in your life that in a metaphorical way, maybe in an actual way, you've given them the key to your life, the key to your house, so to speak, that you've said, "Here, I want you to have this. I want to entrust you with this. I'm giving you permission to walk into my life at any time. To open any door in my life. You've got the key. You've got the password. There's no hidden accounts. Because I want to be in step with God's Spirit. And I trust you enough to tell me the truth. I trust you enough to help spur me on to be who God wants me to be." And one of the keys to keeping in step with the Spirit is being self-aware enough to know your own limitations, so much so that you seek out accountability. Accountability isn't meant to nail you when you do wrong. It's meant to lift you up to who God desires for you to be. You seek someone out. You give them a key to your life to help you keep in step with the Spirit. Let me just ask you, do you have accountability in your life? You see, if you want to be someone who's keeping in step with the Spirit, then you have to be accountable to somebody in your life. Do you have somebody else that knows your passwords on your computer that can read all of your emails, can check in on what you've been clicking on, your online history? People in step with the Spirit have no secrets. They have no hidden accounts. Allison and I, we have no secrets, or at least none that I know of. Any secrets? Okay, just checking. We've got each other's passwords. We can check in on each other any time we desire. There's some men in my life who have the keys to my life, the key to my house, so to speak. They can come in any time to check on me, ask me anything, look at anything. Why? Because I want to be a person who is in step with the Spirit of God, and I need people in my life who love me enough to tell me the truth rather than just watch me bleed out later on. We've talked about that before. Read something from Kerry Newhoff yesterday. He said this. He said, your critics are probably never entirely wrong. Your critics are probably never entirely wrong. See, I want people in my life who are going to speak into those places that they see something that's not looking a whole lot like Jesus. My critics will say it quickly. Who are you listening to? Do you have someone that will walk in and tell you the truth? See, these are the people that do verse 2 really well. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Friends, we all need people in our lives who not only will walk with us as we seek to live lives that are in step with the Spirit, we need people in our lives who also are willing to shoulder some of those burdens that are really weighing us down and keeping us stalled in life so that we can keep moving forward in different seasons. See, when you do that, when you shoulder someone else's burden and help walk them forward, you are fulfilling the law of Christ, is what Paul says. Serving your brother, loving your sister in Christ. And let me just say this, one of the places, if you're going, man, I don't have any body like that in my life. Well, one of the places that those kinds of relationships where we give people the key, who can come alongside us and help shoulder our burden, shoulder the loads in different seasons, one of the places where we foster those kinds of relationships is by connecting with what we call around here life groups. Life groups meet before we come to worship. Right now, they've been solely online because of the pandemic. And man, when these burdens in those life groups, when they get shared, those burdens get divided. When you share those joys, they get magnified and celebrated with others. Do you have those kinds of healthy relationships and healthy friendships and healthy groups where you can celebrate those joys in life and where the burdens can get dispersed by others who are shouldering alongside you, sitting in that circle next to you? It's been said that real life transformation happens more in circles than it does in rows. Think about that. When you're in a circle, you got to face someone. When you're in a row, you can just kind of distance. Some of us have been socially distancing from well before the coronavirus. And maybe today God's going, what do you need to do to take a step into accountability, into a place where you can give a key to someone? Do you need someone, someone's to do life together with you? Are you involved in a life group? If you're not connected with a life group, or if you've become disconnected with a life group, I encourage you, reconnect. If you're going, I don't know how to do that, in the comments, if you're at home right now, drop that in. Just say, I need some help with a life group. Help me get connected. Or connect with me after the service today, and we will help you get connected with a life group this week. If you want to email me, david@arapahoeroad.org, I'll be glad to help you get connected to a life group. We'll have a conversation this week. And just on that life group, let me just stop for a second and just acknowledge, I know it's been tough during the last 9 months since we've been remote in our life groups to stay connected. I'm so grateful for our life group leaders and our life groups who've been hanging in there and just going the distance and doing the Zoom thing and trying to figure out how to do that. And I know sometimes it's frustrating. Let me just encourage you, hang in there. Don't quit on it. Don't quit on us. We're continuing to do the very best we can to get the spaces on this campus, and particularly in this facility, ready so that life groups can have the option not only to continue meeting remotely, but also in person. We crossed a big milestone on Friday. You go, what happened on Friday? On Friday, it was the 90th day since we sold the Family Life Center. And we had 90 days to clear all of our contents out of the Family Life Center and stage them in our three remaining buildings. One of the things we had to do during that time was actually take some of those funds from the proceeds of the sale and make spaces available for things like office suites and our kitchen back here and for some classroom space. And what we've been doing in those classrooms is creating them in such a way and outfitting them with proper technology so that when we're ready, we're not leaving anybody behind, because there's some who are ready to come back to campus and there's others who are going, I'm not ready yet. And we're not ready for you to be disconnected. So we're going to do everything we can to give the technology an opportunity set up so that people in person can also connect with those in their life groups who are not quite ready to come back. We've got more cameras ready to be here tomorrow and be installed. And in the coming days, we should be able to roll out an opportunity for us to have the option to be back in person for life groups and to continue online. Thank you for so many who've been hanging in there. Thank you for an incredible volunteer team that's been helping get the move done, helping get the spaces retrofitted and refurbished and ready. We've just got a couple of more things that need to take place, as well as assessing where things are at from a health standpoint in our community. And so all those things working together, we're going to get there. Don't give up on us. Keep praying. And we'll do our very best to get those options ready as soon as possible. Let's get back to our text. Paul goes on, he says, while we're willing to help others out, while we're keeping an eye on others, bearing their burdens, don't neglect your own responsibilities. Look at verses 3 through 5. He says, for if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Well, would you take note of just this one phrase here? Underline it, highlight it. He or she deceives himself, deceives herself. We're not perfect, are we? No, far from it. We've got flaws, don't we? Yes. We are finite people. Yes. And if we're going to be people who are seeking to keep in step with the Spirit, we must never to begin to think, hey, we've got everything together. I've got it all under control. In fact, nothing can really touch us. Nothing can touch me. That could never happen to me. Oh, that's tragic what happened to that couple, but that could never happen to us. Be careful. The moment you begin to think that way, that you are above succumbing to that temptation, that sin, not acting on that opportunity, not allowing that behavior to affect you, that's when deception has crept into your life. And people who are in step with the Spirit are people who are not deceived. They're not deceived into thinking they have no weaknesses. This isn't your first rodeo. I'm pretty bulletproof when it comes to this. I'm invincible when it comes to that. The rules don't really apply to me. I can handle it. I can stop at any time. And see, Paul loves his friends in the church at Galatia enough to clearly say to them, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Friends, I love you enough to do my best to preach all of God's word to you. And at the same time say to you, do not be deceived. And I say it to me, David, don't be deceived. We need to know. We need to account for our weaknesses. We need to give people, somebody, the key to our lives. And to be able to say, I tend to lean this way, and that's not good. Ask me about this. Oh, I got a business trip coming up. And there's nobody to be able to tell what I'm going to watch. Maybe you need to give a phone call to somebody that you've given a key to your life and just say, hey, call me in the morning and ask me if I slept purely. I just need somebody to ask, what are you doing to hedge against deceiving yourself? Paul then moves on, verses 6 through 10. He says this about living lives that are keeping in step with the Spirit. Verse 6, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Look what it says again, verse 7. Do not be deceived. There it is again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Man, there is so much that we could mine out of that part of Paul's letter. But I want us just to look at one thing before we wrap our time up this morning. Look again at verse 9. Look what Paul encourages us to do. This is a great verse to memorize. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't stop doing good. That great theologian Steve Perry of Journey used to sing, don't stop believing. But the Apostle Paul's saying, don't stop doing good. Don't quit. Don't stop now. In other words, he's saying, keep being the people of blessing. Keep being the people of blessing. Even if your candidate lost, don't mope, do good. Even if your candidate won, don't gloat, do good. Fraud? No fraud? Doesn't matter when it comes to doing good. You keep doing good. Because here's the deal. If you'll keep doing good day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, there will come a time when you will reap what you have sown. Now, maybe you've heard this aspect of doing good versus not doing good, especially parents of teenagers. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. In other words, be careful who you're hanging out with. Hanging around the wrong crowd tends to affect your life in bad ways with bad consequences. Bad stuff tends to kind of spread like a virus around bad situations and people who tend to make bad or unwise situations and decisions. What that means is badness kind of spreads. It gets airborne quickly. It spreads. It tends to cause things to go from bad to worse. However, conversely, goodness spreads. Goodness blossoms. Goodness tends to bear more and more goodness. Being people who are in step with the Spirit are people who are dialing out of our lives bad influences. Not being deceived to think, oh, that could never happen to me. That can't touch me. I can hang here and it not affect me. Wrong. Paul's saying, don't be deceived. Dial out the bad influences and at the same time, dial in those good influences. Ask yourself this question. Who needs to be dialed out of your life this week? And who needs to begin to be dialed in to your life this week? And you may be sitting there wondering, well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, ask yourself this question. Who's doing good? Who is doing good works? And who's not doing good? Who's kind of spreading bad? And who's spreading good? Dial in those people who are doing good, and you can see the fruits of their life blossoming. Begin to dial out those that you're going, I think I'll take a zero over there because I don't want that growing in my life. I don't want that growing in my garden. I don't want that attached to me. See, that crowd that we run with can be another key to determining whether we're keeping in step with the Spirit or we're kind of locking ourselves out of God's best in our lives. So, let me wrap up. I want to give you one intentional action step today, okay? Give you a little break from all the political things. Give you an opportunity to watch something else, okay? Think about this at halftime when the Cowboys are down about 28 points, okay? You go, is this when I should do Pastor David's homework? Yes. Here's your homework today. I want you to go to YouTube, and I want you to watch a little 30-minute film called The Man Who Planted Trees. The Man Who Planted Trees. Anybody seen this before? The Man Who Planted Trees? Oh, good. Wonderful. The Man Who Planted Trees. It's a short story. It's based on a short story that was published in 1953 by French author Jean Giorno, I think is how you say it. Now, in 1987, his story was adapted into a short film. It actually won the Academy Award that year for the best short back in 1987. I debated on showing you the whole thing today, just going, man, we've been through the ringer as a nation. Everybody kind of used the brain. I thought, nah, I don't really want to get sued for streaming, not having the streaming rights to that 30-minute video there. I'll just put it out and invite you to go look it up and to watch it. And so you go, well, give me a little hint. Well, here's the basic story. Spoiler alert, okay? This is a film about a man who planted trees. Okay? All right. In fact, the whole story is about this man from France who was a shepherd back in the early 1900s. And while he's out in the fields tending his sheep, he would plant trees. He had a little bag with him, and he would get acorns or whatever the seeds were for the different trees that he had, and he would take them and he would plant trees wherever he was leading out his flock that day, day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And throughout the first half of the 20th century, at the base of the French Alps, he would plant trees all throughout this barren area out near Provence, France. So think through World War I, that's all happening. He's out there planting trees. Planting trees. World War II comes, he's out there still just planting trees. Through all kinds of different seasons of life. Take a guess at what he did. Say it with me. He planted trees. Planted trees. And his consistent life choice to plant trees day after day after day over a lifetime totally transformed that part of France. And it changed the livelihood of not just his own life, but people that lived in that area. He just quietly, methodically planted trees. AKA, he did not stop doing good. He did good day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And over time, you just looked around and he reaped orchards and forests all throughout the French countryside. So take a step back for a second and just ask yourself, what would your life look like? What would your family look like? What would your friendships or your workspace or your team, your neighborhood look like? What would your world begin to look like if you made it your mission to do good? In a sense, to plant trees. Whatever that looks like in your context. What if you were a person who just kept planting trees? Because I believe that planting trees, no, not literally planting trees, although that's a good thing to do. I'm speaking metaphorically. Planting goodness, doing good works. That's what you were created for, according to God's word. Saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but created for good works. I believe if we did our part to do good works day after day after day, something beautiful would begin to unfold. If we would trust God with the little thing that we plant day after day after day. Life is really less about not doing bad, and it's more about choosing to do good, choosing to be a blessing, to speak words of life, to speak words of hope, to speak words of truth, choosing to be mindful and observant, seeing the needs in others, in life, and meeting that need without having to take a selfie as you're helping someone so you can post it and get glory. God's a big glory hog. He's not going to share his glory with anybody. And if you want to give him glory this week, then you start blessing others and doing good as much as it depends upon you. As you do that day after day, you're keeping in step with the Spirit. And may you be a person, and may we be a church who keeps planting trees all the days of our life. If we do, then we will be on our way to being known as people who are keeping in step with the Spirit.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m., We hope you'll join us this week.